Hunter Research Foundation, if you've walked along the water, the creek there at Maryville, and had a look into their wonderful block of land, and wonder what happens, wonder what they do in the Hunter Research Foundation. Well, it's being wound up and being absorbed by the University of Newcastle. So I thought we'd have a chat to Brett Jenkins from the Hunter Research Foundation this morning and find out a little bit more what they've done. Brett, good morning. For the people who don't know what the Hunter Research Foundation is, obviously research would be a part of it, but what was the underlying task? What did you do there in that wonderful block of land at Maryville?
Well, I think over 60 years that task has changed somewhat. The foundation was originally established to look at the aftermath of the Maitland flood and try and work out the best way to mitigate the economic and the people loss that occurred then. Over time, it's looked at sort of physical geography and the quality of the Hunter River. But most recently, it's been looking at the economic health and the social health of the Hunter region.
That's a pretty broad brush of tasks, isn't it?
Yes. I always liken the foundation to keeping a finger on the pulse of the region. And so it's picking up data from businesses and from households, how they're travelling, how confident they are. It's essentially that's the unique thing that we've been doing for the last 20 years is understanding how the economy is playing out and its impact on people and businesses.
It's a pretty big task when you think about it because you're pretty much the go-to people when someone wants answers about virtually anything.
Well, I think that was true. That was true certainly in the early days and pre-internet. One of the issues we've faced is that information is much more readily available now. Insight and knowledge and wisdom is sort of probably less of supply. So certainly in the last couple of years, we've been trying to say, answer the question, so what? What does this actually mean? And what can we do that's different to get a different outcome?
And how hard is it to grasp and grab all this information? I would imagine there'd be so many different platforms and so many different people in so many different ways to get a reliable and an accurate response to the question.
Yeah, well, the economy is quite a pixelated beast. So you grab ABS data. Sometimes you have to sort of take state data and then try and migrate it across to what the region would be like. But every quarter we're asking 300 businesses and around the same people how they're travelling. So I think, that is a pretty good indication of the macroeconomics, inflation, GDP growth, all those things come out from Canberra. But, as the rubber hits the road in this economy, how are we actually travelling? And I think there's a bit of a disconnect between, some of the positive things coming around our GDP growth rates and how the economy here has been travelling.
Well, one of the great things I love about my job is every day I learn something new. And I didn't realise that effectively the work that the Research Foundation did and does effectively could have saved people's lives.
Literally, yes. And in more modern times, health and well-being, we've been charting, we've been doing a well-being index of the region as well. And you have to think, as job losses, changes in employment status, there's an extreme stress on some households, and that's going to flow into mental health and other aspects. So, we've been in the business of providing information to decision makers to help them make better decisions. Hopefully, that's been carried through, but some might argue there's decisions that haven't been made that should have been made in the benefit of the region, but we've done the best we can to provide the data to make good decisions.
Well, everyone has 20/20 hindsight. It's yeah. One of those facts of life, isn't it? I'm going to ask you a question, and I imagine this is going to be very, very hard, but if you had to pick the crowning glory of the work throughout the years that the Hunter Research Foundation has done, can you pick one instance, or is it just too many things over too many years?
Well, the Hunter Research Foundation is sort of is two bits. The way we funded ourselves is we did research work for other entities. So we've participated in some very large health-related studies over the years, looking at post-traumatic stress in firefighters and veterans, looking at mental health, looking at sexual behaviour. So a lot of what we've done is fed into significant health research and health advancements. So that was a large part of how we funded the business. For the local region, I think our wellbeing watch was unique. To get a snapshot on how a region's travelling, how it feels about its region, how it's reacting to changes in the economy. I think it was really important research and groundbreaking in its day.
Moving forward with the University of Newcastle, what will change and how will its role change as well?
Well, given that the university brings a lot of extra resources to play, so we're essentially embedding that core economic capability. So next year there will be the quarterly economic updates and breakfasts. And beyond that, it's building on the university's capabilities that can be applied in social research, integrating. There's a great body of work in the environment resources area of the university, looking at the economic impacts of balanced land use, looking at social changes and how they may have an economic impact. So I think the research landscape has just been opened up with the resources that the university brings.
Brent, thanks very much for your time. You've shone a light on an organisation I didn't realise did so many things, and we should be very proud to have had the Hunter Research Foundation in the Hunter area and moving forward a bright future. Thanks for your time and have a fabulous Christmas.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.